Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, darling.
So welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the 17th Sunday after Trinity. I won't insult your intelligence by reading out the notices for you. You can all do that for yourselves. But just to say that tomorrow night there is a joint PCC meeting, which in legal terms is what's called a Section 11 meeting. So this is a really important meeting in the life of the interregnum, where certain legal things have to happen. I'm sure we will be praying about the interregnum in our intercessions, but if you would just keep that meeting in mind in your own prayers between now and then, that would be really, really good. So as we sit, let's take a moment of quiet to prepare ourselves for worship. So, Father God, breathe your Spirit into every part of our service and our worship this day. When we pray, grant that we may speak to you as a person speaks to their friend. When we sing, grant that we may sing because our only wish is to give you praise and thanks. And when we read your word, help us to hear and understand it. And when we listen to the preaching of your truth, help us to receive it, to remember it, and to put it into practice. Lord, may we leave this place as people who know that they have been in the presence of a living God. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So with all that in mind, we'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn number 182. Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord.
so we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Sit or kneel for our prayers. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments, and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together: Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Collect Prayer for today, the 17th Sunday of Trinity. Gracious God, you call us to fullness of life. Deliver us from unbelief and banish our anxieties with the liberating love of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So if you'd like to sit, we have our readings from Scripture.
He tore his robes and said, "Am I God Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over his spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
New Testament reading is taken from Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 8. "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him in heaven. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Like to stand, we'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn number 215, "I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say." Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. This is the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and we begin at verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please do sit down. So I love the story of Naaman. I kind of think it's got absolutely everything in it. For a start, the hero is such a thoroughly likeable character. Naaman gets on well with his wife, he gets on well with his slaves, and he gets on well with his king, all of which suggests perhaps an unusual gift for friendship. But despite all this, he clearly has some ordinary human failings. He's just a bit too aware of his position in life, and insists on being treated with the appropriate amount of respect. And then next, I think there's a really amusing element to the story. Take the King of Israel's response to the request to heal Naaman. That could easily have come straight out of a pantomime. And finally, the author of the story has a special skill, I think, for painting a picture. There's the intimate scene between Naaman's wife and the slave girl. There are two completely contrasting royal courts, with a big king and a little king. And then there's the blockbuster bit where Naaman turns up outside Elisha's house with his horses and his chariots, his gold and his silver, his slaves and all his finery. And what happens? Elisha doesn't even bother to come out and greet him. It feels like Elisha deliberately means to humiliate Naaman. Elisha could have done pretty much what Naaman was expecting. Incantations, incense, and a whole load of ritual. At the very least, he could have come out and touched Naaman's leprous hand. Instead, he sends his servant out to tell Naaman to take a running jump into the river. And not any old river at that. This was the muddy, filthy, dirty River Jordan. It's this, I believe, that makes Naaman's final response so moving. When his loving servants at last persuade Naaman to do as he is told, and he realizes that he is cured, he returns humbly and gratefully to the man of God. There's no sign of any lingering resentment at the way he was treated. He completely accepts the initial rebuke. "Now I know," he says, "that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." And this response from Naaman is what makes this the perfect match for our gospel reading this morning. Naaman and the one leper who returned to say thank you. They make a good pair. However, there's not quite the same parity with Elisha and Jesus, because Jesus is much more gracious about the whole thing than Elisha was. Elisha refuses to accept anything from Naaman and does nothing that would allow Naaman to restore his wounded dignity. On the other hand, Jesus says to the leper, "Your faith has made you well." In that one short phrase, Jesus has given back to the man power over his own life. He's treated him as an equal, and he's fully restored him to normal society. An unbelievable gift to someone who was used to being totally shunned, hanging out only with other lepers, and relying on charity for all his needs. But of course, there's a sting in the tale of this story in Luke's gospel account, because this leper who comes back to thank Jesus is not an Israelite, but he's a foreigner. And worse than that, he's a Samaritan to boot. This passage in Luke's gospel is part of a series of stories around Jesus' conflicts with the Pharisees. And we, I think, are naturally gratified to hear of Jesus listening to the poor and the disadvantaged and then healing them. But there is a dark undertone here, a somber note which shows people's rejection of Jesus and all that he wants to do for them. All four gospel accounts agree that although many people either feared or just misunderstood Jesus, it was the religious leaders who had turned this fear and misunderstanding into something of an art form. The very people who had all the clues to solve the mystery of who Jesus was were those who were most baffled. I wonder if perhaps the problem was that they didn't even think there was a mystery. Perhaps they thought that they had the solution already. Maybe they thought that they themselves were the solution. And this is where we need to be careful. The temptation to believe that we have got God tamed and all worked out didn't die with the Pharisees. It is very much alive and kicking today. Jesus has the knack of comforting the disturbed and disturbing the comfortable. Before Naaman was able to experience God's healing comfort, his overblown head and pride had to be punctured, reduced to dipping in the humble River Jordan without even getting an audience with God's prophet. Is pride stopping us from submitting to God's will and transformation in our own lives and in the life of our church? What riches would Naaman have missed out on had he not taken his servant's advice to obey God's word through the prophet Elisha? And goodness me, what blessings will we miss out on if we avoid God's word and will, all because of our own pride and independence? Amen. So we sit, Roger will lead us with our intercessions.
Let us. Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of your holy presence in our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers. A prayer for our interregnum. Gracious God, you are with us always. We thank you for guiding us by your Holy Spirit through life together as a church. We pray that we may hear your voice during this time of interregnum. Grant us patience, grant us vision, and grant us courage as we seek a new priest for our two churches. And by your grace, lead us to be a more Christ-like church, a church which is thoughtful, compassionate, and courageous. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
A prayer for our King. We pray for King Charles, that the Holy Spirit will be beside him as he takes up his demanding duties. We pray that his faith will inspire the nation and our world about protecting and saving God's wonderful creation for our future generations. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
A prayer for faith. Help us to have faith and deliver us and others from unbelief, just as in our scripture readings and sermon this morning. Help us to be active Christians in our own communities and always to do the right thing by Jesus. Help us to bring Christian meaning and purpose to the lives of those who have lost their way. Help us to be kind to one another and encourage newcomers to come and discover Jesus in our church at St. Margaret's. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
A prayer for leaders, especially our own. We pray for our world leaders at this dangerous time, that they will use their power for good and not evil, and we'll collaborate in finding solutions to war, poverty, disease, and climate extremes. Help us with peace and reconciliation in our world, and for love to overcome mistrust and conflict. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
A prayer for others known to us. We pray for those carrying heavy burdens, who are unwell or in recovery. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are experiencing the difficulties of anxiety, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your love is always with them, and make us generous with our response to their difficulties. We pray for those listed on our notice sheet. John Watts, now in Stoke Mandeville Hospital and being treated for sepsis, and for dearest Angela. For Paul and Jean Rickett's daughter-in-law, Amanda, who is undergoing chemotherapy. For Caden Evans, who is undergoing proton beam therapy. We also pray for our ministry team during this time of interregnum. And now in a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in your beautiful creation, which needs to be preserved and cherished by all of humanity. Inspire us to share our many blessings with others so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you will please stand, we'll affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So as we're standing, we'll sing our third hymn now, which is number 252, It Is a Thing Most Wonderful. We continue our worship by using Eucharistic Prayer 1 on page 5. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We'll sit on kneel for our prayer. It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ
has died.
Christ
is risen.
Christ
will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit. Inspire us with your love and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. We continue on page 17 by saying together the prayer that Jesus himself taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy upon us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy upon us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. 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 Body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The 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 body of Christ, a gift from heaven. We say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup, bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights, give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Before we have our peace, we'll find out perhaps what the kids have been doing in Tiger Club. This is my favourite Brentford supporter. So what have you been doing?
Somebody did a play.
And what is it? Yeah, I know, but you tell...
The TV needs to die.
What is it, though? They can't see. Tell them what it is.
No.
I'll hold the tray, you take it out and show them.
Okay.
Go on then. They're clay pots. Would you all please stand? Now we'll try that again. Go to the microphone.
Peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We share with one another as best we can, a sign of that peace. Peace be with you. As we're standing, we'll sing our final hymn, which is hymn 530. And we will omit verses 5, 6, and 7.
Thank you.
So we go to our homes with this blessing. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and for evermore. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you and those whom you love, this day and always. Amen.